The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Judeans, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. It was a Wednesday evening in the tiny town in northern Illinois where I was first called to be pastor, and there were about seven of us that were lingering after the service. What we were doing is we were trying to hang about 200 red, orange, and yellow tissue paper tongues from the ceiling. And just a few moments before, we had heard the story of Pentecost from the book of Acts, and we had sung a few Pentecosty hymns to get in the spirit of the week. Among them, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord." Mm-hmm. We welcomed a new church member that Wednesday evening, just as we will this morning. And the Spirit even got us clapping a little bit, which was very unusual for this particular congregation. And all in all, it was a very good, very Spirit-filled, it felt to us, Wednesday evening. But here we were a little later, and we were standing on chairs and ladders and the backs of pews trying to hang all of those paper tongues of fire from fishing line that had been strung from one end of the chapel to the other. And the conversation was going something like this. "Does this even look like fire? Are the flames too close together? Steve, can you string that fishing line up a little further? We have to make sure Bill doesn't turn on the ceiling fan this Sunday. Ron, please don't fall off the back of that pew." And of course, whose idea was this anyway? That was directed at me. We were so caught up, in fact, in this actual trying to experience and recreate Pentecost that we almost missed the work of the Holy Spirit right in our midst, because then she blew into the room, and her name was Marian, and she was trying to find refuge from a storm. Because unbeknownst to us, because we were focused on tissue paper flames coming from the ceiling, there was a tornado forming outside. As we were hanging those tongues of fire and generally blowing hot air inside the church, this stranger drove past the church and was blown into our midst by the powerful wind of the storm in that early summer night in Illinois. Now, shortly after that, there were a few frantic cell phone calls from our friends and family wondering why we were still decorating the church when a tornado was brewing outside, and that maybe this was not the right time to focus on liturgical decorations. And so everyone left to their homes to go check on farm animals and loved ones. And so we had to leave just those few pitiful paper flames hanging from fishing line as the remnants of our Pentecost plans. Now, I invited that stranger, Marian, to follow me to the parsonage because it was just one block away. And she waited with me until the storm passed. We shared tea and we listened to all the weather reports until things seemed to be safe. And just about when she was going to leave my house, she said, "Thank you for taking me in. I'm a born-again Christian, and I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I drove past and saw that the lights were still on in your church, and I thought, I know they will take me in." Just a few hours earlier, we had been reading the story of Pentecost and about the Spirit's unexpected entrance. And we were fussing about the proper placement of these fake flames. And now here she was, an unexpected guest in our midst, sitting in my living room, testifying to the actual work of the Spirit in her actual life. Thanks be to God. Now, I think that some of us sometimes struggle with what to say about the Spirit or how to feel about the Spirit. For some of us, we keep the Spirit under wraps until this one day of the year, and then we show up wearing red. I've got my flames on my stole, showing up, and sometimes we might even dare to clap in worship. But I have to say that we know other Christians, especially other Lutherans who aren't as burdened by Northern European sensibilities, don't find this so difficult to embrace. They don't find it as difficult to welcome the Spirit and her work in our lives and in our church. Aside from cultural and denominational differences, it seems to me that the Holy Spirit challenges and convicts us because, like an unexpected guest on a stormy night, she blows in and she disrupts our plans. The Spirit comes to us when we least expect her, though we might have to laugh when it actually does happen when we're trying to hang up paper tongues of fire. We pray often, come Holy Spirit, come into our lives, come into our church. And then when she does, we wonder if we can actually do it and respond. When Anna needed a place to live, when a dance troupe needed a place to rehearse, when women and gay people and apparent heretics were called to be pastors and this church responded. And what next? What now? When the Spirit comes, our plans go out the window. And if Pentecost tells us anything, it is to be ready. Be ready for what comes. We may find ourselves doing and saying things that we never thought we would do or say. Have you ever just had to speak up or speak out on behalf of someone? Have you ever felt just absolutely compelled to do something for a neighbor or a stranger? Have you ever known exactly what to do or to say? Or maybe you had a moment of clarity after you made a really difficult decision. If you know that feeling, then you know what it means to drive past the church with the lights on and just know that they will take you in. And therefore, you know the Spirit. And you know that the Spirit inspires us, moves us, challenges us, guides us, convicts us in ways that we can never truly explain, and so we just have to sing about it. Now, a good friend, also a pastor, once suggested to me that what we call the Spirit is in fact just church talk for stuff we can't explain. And he suggested that all the examples I just gave aren't the work of the Spirit at all, but are just explainable and accidental and perhaps even overly emotional moments in our lives. And I said, okay, that's a fair question. That's a fair comment. How do we know if something is the work of the Spirit? Not all of us have the same gifts. Not all of us have the gift of speaking in tongues or discerning spirits. So how do we know if what we are hearing is the word of God, the Spirit of God, or just one of our crazy ideas? Our reading from 1 Corinthians gives us a clue where it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. This tells me that the works of the Spirit The one that we know as the third person of the Trinity, the breath of God, our advocate. These works will by nature inspire us to be and to act for the common good, for the good of others. The works of the Spirit will be reflective, therefore, of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus Christ, who lived and died and was raised, not for the sake of himself, but for the sake of the world. So, we can test those promptings of the Spirit by asking ourselves, is this about me? Or is this about somebody else? The gifts of the Spirit that we celebrate today are not ultimately gifts for us, even though we enjoy them and we celebrate them and we sing them. They are gifts for the sake of the world. The Holy Spirit summons out not our best qualities, but God's best qualities in us. And so, when the Holy Spirit blows in and makes herself known, she will move you to care for others. She will guide you on right pathways and show you the things that make for peace. She will empower you to forgive others. And she will give you a voice, perhaps even a new language, so that you can speak on behalf of justice and peace and the world that God has created. And so on this Pentecost day, we give thanks for the way that the Spirit blows in unexpectedly and lives in us, lives within us as the Uniloo community and in the global church, always and forever, for not for our sake, but for the good of the world. Let us pray. O God of every breath, our beginning and our end, O God of burning passion and most tender compassion, unbind our sin and our tongues this day that we may joyfully praise your name, for our substance is in you. Heal our broken hearts and restore us. Make us one with you, with each other, and with your entire creation. For you have assured us through Saint Julian, I may make all things well. I can make all things well. I shall make all things well. I will make all things well. You will see for yourself that every kind of thing will be well. Amen.